Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and very happy to be here today. I'm going to be talking to Simon Parks, and it's always a delight to have him on the show. So I'm going to bring him on just without any further introduction this time. I think that most people know who he is, and I've got many interviews with him. So if you want to find out more about him, please do go to my other interviews on YouTube and also to his own. Well, I think he has a radio show now. So Simon, you're on the screen now. And if you could share what it is that you're doing in terms of where people can find you and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, first of all, hi, Kerry. Lovely to be back on your show. Thank you ever so much for inviting me onto Project Camelot. Very happy to chat to you. If you want to go to the website, simonparks.org, and they can then pick up all the links from that if they want to. And then I do my own podcast, or we call it a radio show, and that's twice a month. That comes directly out, linked out through the website, and then onto to YouTube. And of course, I'm with Ted Marr in Seattle, and I do a couple of shows with him in the States, a couple of shows a month with him. So if you just go to simonparks.org, and that would be able to link you through to whatever you want to see. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Now we've got it's an incredibly interesting time, I would say, and I think it can be very stressful, and I understand that you were not feeling well. You were under attack for a few days, and there was you were actually in the hospital, and I'm very sorry to hear that. So it must have been quite severe. We do pay a toll, or whatever you want to call that, for doing this kind of work, trying to reveal the truth. And I've got a lot of things to talk to you about and all of that. What I want to do to begin with is actually give you the floor to talk about the things that you think are front and center in your estimation at the moment for our audience. And this is a worldwide audience, so as you know, that you can just cover everything on and off world and it'll be pertinent.
Okay, well, I obviously there are a few topics I think that you'd have to be asleep not to be aware of what's happening, and obviously I'll want to cover some of those, which I'm sure will be on your mind, but there'll be others that I've not picked up or you want to talk about, and I'm happy to do that. But before we do that, I've just got a few little announcements. I'm going to be very cheeky now, and I know that you won't mind. I'm the founder of Connecting Consciousness, an organization that has lots of members, about 20-odd thousand members across not just the English-speaking world, but other countries as well. And we had a very good meeting in London, which was designed to engage with the membership. We've got 100 plus people there to look at our aims and objectives of the organization, to write a mission statement, to really take the organization to where we want to go. Now, I have my Australian Connecting Consciousness coordinator has actually asked me to give a plug. It's the very first Aussie meetup, and I just want to read the details out. So it's Australia's first national meetup, I'm not going to paper here, national meetup on Saturday and Sunday, the 29th to the 30th of September 2018 in Sydney. If you're interested in attending, then the coordinator is Will Hamilton, and the email address is I'm going to have to spell it out because it's Australian. It's protonmail.com. So that's for anyone in Australia or Sydney who wants to be involved with Connecting Consciousness in Australia, that's fine. Also on Sunday the 29th, the Switzerland CC group is meeting up. So if you're in Switzerland and you've not yet joined CC, please do so. I'll give you contact at the moment. Also in Canada, if they're having a meeting, if you want to, and you're in Canada and you want to meet on with them, please can you contact Becky, that's B-E-C-K-Y, B256@yahoo.co.uk. I know that's a UK address, but you go through that and we'll get you through to the Canadian and Switzerland connection. And finally, if you want to be involved, this is obviously America. If you want to be involved in the American CC, it's Norman. So Norman is contactable at nha.usa.atintccg.com. Thank you for indulging me there, Kerry. But I am building a worldwide organization, and if you're in those countries and you want to be involved, please drop them a line. Okay, you said what topics, and we want to talk about the observatory, the main observatory in New Mexico, closing down. I also want to talk about the satellites, and I want to talk about Judge Kavanaugh, and I want to talk about QAnon. So those are the four things that I thought might be interesting to your audience.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Those are wonderful. Yes. I'm very excited to hear all of your thoughts on all of it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, how do you want to go with this? Have you got some interesting bits, or what do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to go ahead, and then I will just pipe in with my interesting bits, as you call them, when I get, you know, just to kind of compare notes, which is something that I think we're very good at and people enjoy. Yeah. If I have nothing to say on a matter, then I'll have nothing to say.
Hey, well, listen, that'll never happen, will it?
Well,
okay,
you never
well, the
know.
Great thing is that and I've said this privately to you, and we've never really fallen out privately or publicly, because, and I don't understand it myself, but we always seem, although we get the information from perhaps different sources, we're always broadly in the line. Oh, sure, there'll always be the odd differences here and there, but we're fundamentally in tune, and I think that's perhaps what your audience like, is that we're both coming from different aspects, but we've both reached the same conclusion. Okay, so I'll talk about the satellites first of all. I'll only say what I know. I am not going to have any supposition. I'm not going to say I think. If I'm leaning somewhere, but I haven't got the evidence, I'll just say, you know, well, it could be this. But I'll only give you what I know. I know that between 3 and 6 satellites were deactivated. They're still up there, not been shot down. They're still up there. They've just been switched off, between 3 and 6. Interestingly, that some of the names that have been bandied about, I'm aware of, and one name isn't. The Snow White is the key satellite here, but I actually know it probably as Dark Knight or Black Knight.
All right.
So the Snow White satellite I would know as Black Knight or Dark Knight. That is the key one. The other one that's very key is the Early Bird. There was an original satellite, I think in the 50s or 60s, which was called Early Bird. And I think it was the very first telecommunications satellite that was put up. And so this is called Early Bird because it's all about telecommunications. So these satellites were not satellites run by the good guys that were taken out by the bad guys. These were not satellites taken out by aliens. These were can we just call them a bad guy group of satellites that were taken out by the good guys. That's my view, my understanding on it. These satellites did two things, one which you would expect, which is the communications, but they did something else as well. From the communications point of view, it allowed an encrypted channel that nobody else had to run all over the planet, to secret locations, encoded, I don't just mean secret geographically, secret encoded locations, that meant that it was not possible for outsiders to break in. Even the National Security Agency weren't able to break into it. Now, part of the key group of this was Britain's GCHQ, and that connection was also taken off. So it means that if something was to happen, the bad guys couldn't tip each other off. So that's the very obvious part. And I think perhaps most people could grasp that. But there's another part here, that this system was actually, it's a British word, but I'm sure you American guys have this. We call it eavesdropping. Do you have that word?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, fine. I don't want to just assume. This system was actually eavesdropping on all of the encrypted secret communications from American government and world government, in terms of all the different you know, countries that, that feed information in. Now, this system could have been taken down a long time ago. But the reason it was taken down now was because we're just 2 weeks away from something fairly big happening. And the good guys left this for as long as possible because they didn't want to give any more warning or notice than they had to. So it means that the bad guys now are blind electronically to a certain extent on this, this secret route. They don't have access to it. It also means now that they cannot hack into or get hold of information that's coming through the normal secure routes, which they could have done before. The other thing I wanted to say, which has perhaps not been picked up on, is that one of these satellites, I call it the Dark Knight or the Black Knight satellite, wasn't just a communications. It had a frequency to it that could activate certain people on the planet who had chips or had been programmed. So this satellite could take control of certain individuals on the planet to make them do certain things. So that, my understanding is that's part of the system that's been taken down. So there are a lot of people now who are not any the wiser, but they can't be activated to undertake assassination attempts or anything like that. So that was the Black Knight or Dark Knight satellite, which some people call Snow White. There is a confusion over those two. So that's what I wanted to say. Now, the other thing is that the US, Britain, Canada, Australia, were part of what we call the Five Eyes. And that now means that that information is now secure and cannot be passed on to this illegal group. So that's really what I wanted to say about the satellites.
Okay. Wonderful. Fascinating, I have to say. Now, what I'm going to do here is bring in some information that I have, and then you can kind of commentate on that.
Sure.
The bottom line is, as everyone knows, I've been talking to Eddie Page, and he was claiming that the Pleiadians, his group of Pleiadians, took down those the satellites, or turned them off, or whatever you want to call it. And he didn't give a lot of detail on that. Now, obviously, his story is not quite what you're saying. It is interesting to think about it because, again, with his group, we're talking about Pleiadians that are also what some call the Anunnaki, and we're not sure which are which and so on. So this is to kind of clarify that when he says something, it may be slightly coded so that people who are out there who are going to have a certain point of view are going to know what he's talking about, but other people won't, and so on. And so that's very interesting. I also want to say that Dark Knight, I've been aware of the Dark Knight satellites. Actually, my information is there are three of them. And that one of the key things that they do is that they have the ability to be what they call low tech. And as low tech, they are not interfered with or able to be interfered with by off-planet races. Artificial intelligence. That's at least what I've been told. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that was the very key thing about them. And it interests me very much that you're saying that this one of the Black Knights at least was involved here, because that would tend to mean, if from my point of view, that there was some interference that may be coming along with the whatever event you think is going to be happening soon. And actually, I think this might dovetail with the Sun Observatory situation, that they did not want, the good guys did not want the bad guys, meaning the off-planet bad guys either, to be able to do this kind of surveillance and things that they could do and so on. So it brings that into it. Now, I don't know if you want to go there or not, but those are two aspects that I'm aware of.
Okay. Any motor car that's 25 years or old, you can't do the Boston brakes to them. And if you have a satellite that is state of the art in terms of human technology, then it's easy to take over. But if you have a satellite that has two phases to it, you have a operating phase, which is pretty mechanical, very, very basic. then it can't be controlled or taken over in the same way. And you have a backup system on there that you activate for a short period of time, which is the high tech. So I totally agree with that. And that's the way you cover it. Something that's got more mechanical parts in it than super electronics is very hard to disable or take down. Anyone who's had a really old motor car, you know, you can keep it going with a bit of string and a rubber band. You don't need all the electronics to go with it. So that's a fact, and I will totally agree with that. There are three dark nights, but there's one of them that's the coordinator. So there are three satellites, but one governs the other two. If you knock that one out, you knock the others out. And you talk about Eddie Page. I don't like to, and I never really talk about other people, because if I start doing that, they'll talk about me. There's quite enough people talking about me. What I would say is that...
let's address the information rather than the
person. I want to talk about the Palladian part of it. I didn't want to be drawn into it, because I know audience will ask questions, and they ask questions of me and of other people, and I always say no to that. But in terms of the Palladian group, there is a splinter group, and I know you know this, Kerry, but some of the audience, your audience might be new, maybe just tuned in for the first time and might not know this, that there is a group of the Palladians which are not true Palladians. They are a splinter group, and these are the guys that Billy Meyer and George Adamansky came into touch with, and they had a very strong connection to the Sumerian culture. In fact, they were also running a channeling operation, the Vril Society, back in the days of just before Nazi Germany kicked off. And these people operated a very primitive form of Palladian technology. It was an offshoot. They'd been offshooted for a very long time. And this group, we can say, had a connection to the control system on Earth. But what I want to do is to make it very clear that there is a big distinction between true fifth dimensional Palladians and a group of Palladians that are split, that look more like Nordics now. They're not actually, but they look more like Nordics, and they are beginning to fall back into the fourth dimension. So it is not the Palladian group that has got anything to do with the Anunnaki. It is a branch or a faction of that group. So that's really felt, I really had to spell that out.
Right. Okay, very interesting. And there's more to come on that subject. In my other interviews, I'll be talking to Eddie Page some more, trying to get more clarification on that. It's a very murky area, but some things have come to light. And so, okay, now as to the information, again, not the person, the information, because it's vital that we do bat around information. We do get different levels of information. I've got my sources, you've got yours, we're both intuitives, and so on. So this other idea that they may have been involved, first of all, they may be involved in the government on either the dark side or the light side. That's also open to conjecture. And that whether or not those individuals or some of those individuals could have been involved in the turning off or takedown of those satellites. In other words, if we follow your line of thought, you're saying that would be the good guys, a good guy portion that were working with our, you know, the Trump administration, if you want to call it that, and the current, you know, positive side of things, in turning off the negative aspects of those satellites. Is that a possibility in your mind? Or do you think that's inaccurate?
No, it certainly is a possibility. In fact, I go a bit further and say they provided the coding. They didn't provide the vehicles or the installations to transmit the deactivating codes, but they provided the codes. So the technology was given, but it was for the humans to actually put that into practice.
Excellent. Okay. Very good information. Okay. So now the next subject on the list, where do you want to go from here?
The observatory, of course.
All right. Very good.
Okay. I love it because it's in New Mexico, isn't it? I mean, it's just wonderful. And interestingly enough, the first building was just done in 1947. Obviously, it's a much more up-to-date building, and it's got all the latest technology, but it was originally put up just after the Roswell incident. So it does date to 1947, which is fantastic. It's the finest, it contains both optical and digital sensing equipment, and it's the finest device for capturing pictures of the sun that there is on the planet. That's a key point to bear in mind. Now, what I think made me smile was that the officials have released a couple of days ago, I think it was a blanket statement saying, look, there was a criminal activity taking place in the, it's called the Sunspot Observatory, I believe, but there was criminal activity taking place and therefore it was closed down. And for the safety of the employees working there, they were evacuated. Now, that's the official line that's placed out.
Yes.
And what amuses me, and it only amuses me, it doesn't aggravate me or anger me, it just amuses me, is the number of people who are posting saying, oh, well, that's all right then. you see, there wasn't anything going on. There you go. You conspiracy theories. This is all it was. And they accept that. And that's really sad for the planet if there are people who would do that. Because if you were to understand, then the similar, it's not as powerful, but a similar observatory in Australia was closed down. A similar one in Pennsylvania was closed down. A similar one in Chile was closed down. A similar one in Spain was closed down. And in Hawaii, two were closed down. But all these were devices to monitor the sun. So not only was the old local old post office closed down next to the Sunspot Observatory, but it and all the others. So in other words, the civilian sector had no eyes on the sun over that crucial period, because all of these satellites, all of these observatories were largely or partly funded by the US, but they were operating under a non-military regime. So there weren't military personnel staffing them, they were civilian personnel. Now, what I do know is that that in some of these places, in the one in New Mexico, there was a very interesting connection between the employees of the Sunspot Observatory and some of the employees at the local post office. And information was being passed, and that's the reason that the post office was closed down, because they didn't want information being passed out. So it's got nothing to do with criminal activity. We know, I didn't know it was the FBI. I assumed it was SEALs or Delta Force, but I later was told that it was the FBI who landed in Black Hawk helicopters to take control of this facility. That you just don't do that. And the reason I guess it was FBI was that you can run with a cover story that it was a criminal matter. If you started doing it with CIA or, the heavy military, then you really do lead even the most asleep newspapers or newspaper reporters to actually begin to ask questions. So if it's the FBI, it's all okay. It's all fine. Nothing to worry about. So we know that a number of observatories were all closed down at exactly the same time. We know the post office was closed down. And we know that all the staff were taken away separately into different rooms. Some were taken away out of the premises. Some were meant on the premises. We know that the computer files were logged and blanked and removed. And we know that objects surrounding the sun were identified. And the whole purpose of this was that the good guys had been tipped off that an operation, a experiment was to be taking place around our sun, and they were given warning of it. The problem was that nobody realized actually just how powerful these observatories were and how crystal clear the pictures or the information coming back was. So when they closed them down, they didn't do it early enough. They didn't sort of say, well, it's all going to happen on Tuesday, therefore we'll close it down on Monday. When it happened, either they their amount of time they had was very short, or they assumed that this machinery on Earth couldn't pick it up. And when they realized it was picking it up because they were monitoring all the crazy chatter coming on, they went in very quickly and had a look at it. So it was because of the fleet of spacecraft around the sun. That's what that was all about.
Okay. I had to run and get my other computer because this is really fascinating, you know, because I have another side of that story. But I have to say that thank you. This is a very weird thing to probably do when you're a broadcaster, but nonetheless, I was actually given this information last night in my, some kind of download, really, I guess, is the best, simplest way to say. So I was given that information last night that you're giving me here. And giving all of us. And on top of it, you know, I've done a lot of investigation around this, and I sent some of that to you. And it does seem that, I have a back channel source who has, now what can I say about this? I have to be really careful. Who has had access to some data. I guess I'll just say that, generally speaking. I better not say who they are or who they've tapped into, because obviously it's not like they're not going to be already knowing who my source is and all this kind of thing, because that source is heavily watched. But, you know, there's no reason encouraging other governments, et cetera. And I don't want to get anyone in trouble here. But I do have, and I can put on the screen, some information. And I did send you a bit of it. I am being very careful about it because there may be indicators on some of this information that might reveal where I got it, so to speak.
But sure.
I'm going to throw some of these pictures up here and basically say that, you know, I have tweeted this out and I put it out on Facebook as well as on Twitter. All my Hoot suite of social media and some of it. And I've also got pictures of the sun that were taken by this person that somehow were captured around the exact same time and do show some craft. I'm not sure, you know, it's hard when you don't know what you're looking at, so to speak, right? So it's hard to say exactly what they got. But they have definitely tapped into also chatter, back channel chatter. And, the information is that this does relate to the, now I'm not saying it's Eamon, Ansbro's technology, and he's an astronomer, an Irish astronomer who I've interviewed now twice. He has a grand experiment that he's trying to reach ET by, superluminal travel. That's kind of a joke of mine, but he's actually using a quantum mechanical device that they
I've met him.
Yes. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. So, and, you know, you can watch my interviews with him, which really explain it totally, you know, quite extensively. And there's a second interview, which is more up to date about how he was being obstructed, in fact, in his efforts. I don't know the status as of right now, but I can tell you that the indicators I got from my back channel source matched everything he had been telling me about his device. I have told him this. He has basically been noncommittal, saying, well, that would be outside the sort of a mission statement of a solar observatory, as far as he knew, to be trying to, what they're trying to do is go out simultaneously, send these signals out to all star systems, you know, as far as, I don't know, you can think of many, many galaxies, not just one, not just our solar system, but to almost leapfrog over what one might say the solar system that's under control of the secret space program. And contact ET from there. Now, there are indicators, very strong indicators, that the solar observatories were involved in an experiment that was very similar to Eamon Onsbrook's. I don't know if they piggybacked on his technology or whether they had devised their own, and that the Chinese were actually trying to hack into it and be party to this so-called experiment, and that they were having getting replies. They were having sort of, you might say, even some kind of communication going on. This is my understanding based on putting these facts together, that don't connect necessarily unless you have this back channel that I have. So, that's what I've got. Now, it doesn't rule out this other thing, which I also had downloaded last night, which you're saying, which I think is very much part of the story. Obviously we're not getting the whole story, but it is fascinating. And I will tell you that I have an agent, insider. You're always an agent. Once you're an agent, always an agent. So I have an agent insider who has told me that when I told him about my interviews with Eamon Onsbrook, told me unconditionally that, of course, they would never allow Eamon to be successful at his efforts and that they would shut it down. So then you get the solar observatories making these efforts, finding, I think, going outside what was their, what they were told, their mission statement, whatever you want to call it. And of course, if you contact ET, it's quite possible you want to tell some friends, which is where the post office might've gotten involved. I don't know. Just my guess. So what do you want to do with all of that, Simon?
I want to agree with you 100%. Right. Before you came out and told me that, I did actually say to you that the base stations contained, they had optical, but I said they also had digital equipment. Uh-huh. And it was through the digital equipment that a communication can be run. And in fact, actually, it's not as difficult as you might imagine. It can be constructed quite simply. It's the frequency at which it has to bounce on the Earth. So it was used through the digital equipment, not the optical equipment. So these installations had this capability. The gentleman you referred to is highly regarded and holds a key post in an organization that is remarkably well known to most Americans and even some Europeans. And the difficulty is, of course, that it's funded by the US, which means that that's the paymaster. If you, as an individual or a group, were receiving downloads, as you do, Kerry, if you're receiving downloads, you could get information to construct things, or you could get information to give you an idea of what you should do. And the law of the multiverse within the good guys is that they can't just come charging in. They have to be asked for help. Now, if a whole host of bad guys are already dealing with certain governments and have an arrangement, like in the 1930s, the mob ruled certain streets. You couldn't go into that street unless you were part of that mob. But if an individual or group of individuals could open a separate communication channel and ask for help, not asking on behalf of the government, but asking on behalf of the human race, then that is all that the other side needs as an invitation to come in. The fleet of craft, I just want to go a bit further with this, the fleet of craft were... The evolution on this planet is actually, by and large, directed by the sun. Global warming, as it's been sold to the public, is just a lie, total lie. There is a warming, but it's not through carbon emissions. You might get 1 centigrade, but it's not the big deal here. The big deal is that the environment is being affected by the particular frequency of light coming from the sun. Now, the human race is slightly delayed. We're behind schedule a little bit, partly because we're all a bit silly and partly because the bad guys have had thousands of years at manipulating us. And as a result of it, they're really good at what they do. So one of the things you can do when certain things happen in the universe or the multiverse is you can alter the frequency of energy coming from the star. The sun, the main star, is responsible for the evolution of our solar system. It's not just going to be the Earth that's going to change. All the planets are moving and changing on an energy basis. And so this fleet of craft, I understand, were altering and changing the frequency to impact humans and the Earth in a slightly different way than it was originally intended. So the fleet of craft, I accept as a fleet of craft. I believe that they were there not using the sun as a portal to come in and out just for, and that's the end of it. They were actually there to work with the energy of light coming from the sun, and it's the way that it affects humanity on the Earth. So yes, we are, you made a joke of it, but you're absolutely right that the finest, fastest communication is through the DNA. The next best is through light. So if we have a superluminal or a D-wave type system that can operate a communication system above the speed of light, that's what these guys were capable of doing with their machines on these observatories. Then you can reach objects much quicker than you would otherwise have done. And that's my understanding. Does any of that match with what you know, Kerry?
Absolutely. Yes. And wonderful, wonderful kind of summation there. I'm going to try. I have put one message up there, and I wanted to send it to you. So I'm going to try to drop that into your chat.
Down on my box here somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So if you just, but we have to move on with the discussion while I get my technical thing together to do that. So So let's continue. And I think, okay, you know, for people, this is very good information. And you didn't, the only question I have there is you didn't kind of clarify. You said they wanted to modify the, I don't know, the frequency or whatever it is, of the light coming from the sun or something of that nature, if I understood you, but you didn't say whether in a positive way, are they dialing it up
positive
or down?
Oh, it is totally positive.
Okay. All right. Very interesting.
Well, on the radio show that I did a little while ago, what I said is that I don't want our listeners, my listeners when I do my radio show and your listeners here on your show, to imagine that President Trump has authorized the FBI to put a stop to disclosure. My understanding is that this type of disclosure, I'm not defending it, I'm just telling you what I've been told, that this type of disclosure would be 0 to 60. The disclosure that the White House wants is a much more gradual, gentle disclosure, but it wants this alien disclosure as one of the last things to be disclosed. It would much rather things like 9/11, and the gold heist and things like that to be dealt with first. So it wasn't, my understanding is it wasn't because the good guys wanted to prevent disclosure in its true sense. They didn't want it now, and they wanted disclosure at their speed. Now, we could argue that we're ready for it. We want it all now. And I'm not making a judgment. I'm just saying why those guys were sent in.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying they're dialing it down in a negative way, but they mean it in a positive way, or you're saying the cover-up of dialing it up was done?
I'm sorry. Okay, I don't think I understand you, Kerry.
You were saying Trump administration sent in, are you saying they sent
in? They authorized it, yes.
A group of our space program, in other words, it's our guys that are up there at the sun.
No, Kerry, I mean the FBI.
Oh, okay, sent in
the people who authorized the FBI to go in and close all those sites down.
Okay, very interesting.
Simply because they didn't want disclosure coming out because they're not ready for it.
Okay, yeah, that gets into a whole interesting discussion, but we won't go there at this exact moment. It's certainly worth talking about at some point. But all right, thank you. That's, you know, fascinating stuff. You know, it is really interesting, this whole, well, that gets into even Unsprow's whole position, if you will, and the position like Project Camelot has, and certainly yourself and others. In other words, we are pushing the envelope ahead of the rest. And we are basically saying we can handle the truth. That's in essence what we're saying.
Absolutely.
And so we are not in full agreement on the timeline, if you want to call it that, but we are in agreement, at least with a certain portion of this ruling group that do agree that people do need to know eventually, or, and even on a certain there, I think there is an escalation, even on the sort of side that sent in the FBI, so to speak, that they acknowledge that they are now under the gun to do a lot more faster than they previously wanted. Would you agree?
Yes, because what's happened, to my knowledge, at least three deadlines have gone and passed where certain positive forces have said to US administrations, you really do have to, you know, explain humanity's position within the universe, within the multiverse. And each time the president has said yes, that he would, and then reneged on it and given the excuse that it wasn't ready, that they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that. And I reported some, I think 6 months ago, that a final ultimatum had been given, not to this president, but the final Obama, saying that if he didn't make a disclosure, then they were going to do it anyway. And the whole point about the US administration making the disclosure was that they then could manage the fallout. But if it was taken out of their control, they wouldn't be able to manage the fallout. Now, with the arrival of President Trump, that threat had been removed, but there was an understanding that it certainly would take place, if not in his first administration, but in a second administration.
And that dovetails with what Mark Richards has told me, that it actually disclosure has been pushed along, if you want to call it that. There are various things happening, even in Syria, for example, to do with the, well, the reptilians who are pushing for it, believe it or not, and other races. And they, of course, have a rather nefarious reason for wanting disclosure, but nonetheless, that's a reality. So, yeah, that totally dovetails with what I'm getting.
Good. Yeah. Good. One day we'll disagree.
Okay. We'll look forward to that one. And
I want to talk about QAnon, and I want to talk about Supreme Judge Kavanaugh.
Okay, go right ahead, and I'm going to give you some stuff. I think, let me see, can you hold on 1 minute while I try to do this? Because if I could put this on, I will be fascinated to get your reaction. And this would be live, because you've never seen this. I haven't sent it to you yet. This is going to actually be motion picture, believe it or not. And I hope there's no identifying marks on it, let me say, because I'm going to see if I can get this on the screen. So bear with me 1 second, and I've got it here. And then I'm going to actually play it for you. And first, I'm going to play it for the audience. Okay. And
so this is just audio, is it? Or
No, this is a video, and it doesn't have any audio.
So how can I watch it?
That's a good question. I'm going to give it to you, and then you'll have to open it on your own desktop. How's that?
Okay, no problem.
Okay, so stand by here. So I've got you on my other, so that you can see it at the same time everyone else gets to see it.
Okay.
More or less.
So are you, I don't understand, are you emailing it to me or what?
Oh, I'm going to drop it into your Skype.
Ah, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that should work. So stand by 1 second here. I'm doing it as we speak. It's not a big file, but it is a motion picture. So it should go quickly. And I'm going to take you off the screen and put this on. So, stand by for this. This is footage of the sun that was taken just around this time of all of these events going on. So
it's arrived. So I'm going to play it now. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's being played on my screen here. So this is courtesy of a very talented individual. And he is zooming in at this moment to show some things on the screen, and then that's it. It's very short. And then I have some other still shots for those. I'll play it one more time for the audience here so they can see it again. And are you able to watch it, Simon?
I've watched it, but I have to be honest and say I don't know what I'm looking at.
Well, it's very difficult. But we're looking at, it's the way, astronomers shoot the sun. They put this disc in the middle so that, I guess the camera can handle the light. I don't really know. Okay. And what this person is trying to show us, if I understand it, first of all, there is a black, you can kind of see a black dot next to the rim of this round circle.
Yeah, okay.
That's on the sun. That would be a very large craft, from what I understand, that we could see, if I understand what I'm looking at. And then there is something here down in the lower area, which I don't understand it either, but could be a kind of a flash, an indicator that something is being triggered on the sun.
Right. Now, that for me is much more interesting. I was initially looking for flying saucers, you see, and I was very disappointed when I didn't see any flying saucers. What I did see was this, as I'm looking at the picture in the southwest quarter, down at the bottom to the left, some very large flares showing intense energy light. And that actually would back up with what I'd been saying earlier, that the sun is producing some very useful frequency, which others can then tweak or change. So for me, the picture is not important for what it may or may not show from alien spacecraft, but for me, it's much more important because it could be showing some intense release of energy, which is why those craft were there.
Yes. Okay. Well, very good. So either way, I'm not an expert when I look at these pictures either. But I thought that they looked really fascinating. I think that energy indicates something going on there that looks really amazing. I think there are craft in the picture. I may not even understand which are craft and which are not, because I think these pictures that I look at of the sun are always very difficult to tell what you're looking at. So we get that.
A brilliant picture, I must say.
Yeah, a very, very talented guy. So, all right. So now at this moment, let's move on to the next subject, which is QAnon, because actually there was a dovetail with this information that I posted on my, I think it's on my site. I have to look for it, actually. I've got so much information. Sometimes I forget where it's all coming from. But QAnon apparently had been talking about the satellites. So this is actually satellite information. QAnon actually named satellites that were being turned off. So I don't know if his information was, or that group's information was, dovetailing with yours or not. If I can find that little bit, I'll try to put that on the screen as well.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
So
all I wanted to say about QAnon was that, in my understanding, is it's four males, right, and a very advanced artificial intelligence computer.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. Why do they need the artificial intelligence computer for what they're doing?
I'm curious. Because it is partly divining the future. It is also in communication with the highest military in the US, and it can hack into either side to predict the future, not through a crystal ball, but through the intentions of previous actions. So in other words, you could put a paper trail together and you could be fairly clear that this was going to come from it. So we're looking at a group of four men and a very advanced D-Wave computer that almost sees to foretell the future, but is connected to a advanced communication system and is partly providing information to secret groups which are positive, but is also under attack itself. So Q is also under attack from another form of artificial intelligence, which is negative. So I would suggest that the information coming from Q is by and large accurate, but we can't always be sure who's posting it at the time we receive it.
Fascinating. Yes. Okay. Now, I don't know if you can address this, but I have heard that John F. Kennedy Jr. was supposedly still alive and that he might be one of the members.
Well, I know someone who channels JFK. I don't know about the rest of the family. I have no knowledge on that, Kerry, at all.
All right. Okay, now I've got this little, this is actually on my Eddie post that I've been elaborating on details and Eddie's sort of controversy, if you want to call it, going on. And I'm going to put this QAnon on here because it looks like it matches, it's fascinating, really, that it matches your stuff. Now, I don't know if you can go online, you know, to other websites when you're able.
I daren't in case I lose you. I better
not. Yeah, okay. But I could take a screenshot of this and then try to drop it into your chat so you can take a look as well. Or you can just look at it later. But it's fascinating because it actually does have the name Snow White on here.
Right.
That QAnon apparently had put out there. And this was sent to me.
Does it have early bird as well?
I'm going to scan it and see. It's a bit difficult because I'm trying to get it all in my screenshot here. And it, it says, okay, this was as of August 30th. Okay. This were the posts. I'll read it very quickly. It'll be faster. Snow White 3 is now offline. Snow White 4 now offline. Snow White 6 now offline. Snow White 7 now offline. Package complete. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day. And then it said a DEAC kill box 1A 2B or ZB. Corona 1 now offline, Corona 4 now offline. And this is all dated August 30th. Corona 8 reroute T83, Corona 8 new control.
Right. That's interesting because that one means it's been taken over. If it's been rerouted,
right,
or we say in Great Britain, rerouted, that means that the good side have actually hacked into that and taken control of it. And also the other one is interesting, the kill box. That's we call it dead man's handle in this country. It won't mean anything to you. It's a device that prevents self-destruct. It prevents anyone taking back control of it. So within that group of information there, what we've been told is that not only have they turned off the satellites, but one of the Corona satellites they've actually taken control of, and the other one they've prevented it from destroying anything else. So there's a heck of a lot of information in the couple of sentences you just read out.
Okay, and I'll just finish it. There's a couple more here. Corona 8 new control, Corona 8 now offline.
That's,
and it said Corona 6.
Another new control. That's another new control, which means that that's actually now under control and is operating for the other side. So, that's very interesting.
And then Corona 16, task route Z8301, Corona 16 now offline.
So its job has been changed. So whatever job it was undertaken to do, let's say, for instance, it was spying. Let's just say it was taking photographs of the White House. So what that piece of information tells us is it now has been altered to take pictures of something else.
Yeah, fascinating. And then it goes Corona 16 now offline. So they did something and then they took it offline. And then the next thing says blind eyes in the sky. Shall we play a game? ? And that's the end of it.
Okay, so this is the AI talking.
Really?
Humans, humans don't talk like that. They don't. We don't speak like that, but the machine does.
It's quite good.
What it's saying is to the you now don't know, you can't see. So shall we play? Do you remember, Kerry?
Oh yes, I know exactly what you're going to say. I love that. Go ahead.
No, you
do it because terrible. No. Go ahead, please.
All right. When you were a kid, you had a game?
No, this is a movie.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, they're connected.
Probably.
So we know, and so that's basically that hints are being dropped, ideas are being given. The summation of the human consciousness is held somewhere, and this device is able to pull out and make jokes and have a bit of fun. But basically what it's saying is we can now, you can't see us, you can't do anything, now we're going to go for it. So that's when I said earlier in our talk that they held back on this. They held back on it they left it as late as they could. I think I had the technology to do this months ago.
Fascinating. Okay, well, now the leading question is, and I know we want to go in other areas, but what is the preparation for that's coming up that actually had to do with the satellites? And I would say these things are all connected, the satellites, the sun, and, you know, what else is coming?
Yes, they are all connected, although their connection might be a bit tenuous. So the final part that I wanted to talk about, which is connected, is the Supreme Judge Kavanaugh. So interesting that this sexual allegation has now been brought up when he was 17 and the girl was 15. Just shows how desperate they are to try to prevent him getting into office. I was aware some months ago when we were up to about 25,000 indictments, I'm now reasonably convinced that there is an excess of 50,000 indictments, reasonably convinced. That's a huge amount, but I'm reasonably convinced there's something around 50,000. And the way it works is that these indictments can only be drawn up by a DA and a group of, I don't know, between 6 and 12 judges who are absolutely sworn to the highest secrecy you can ever get. And it can be done at state level. It can be done at federal level and somewhere in between. But if you were going to indict people, you have to indict them where they either live or where the alleged criminal activity took place. But it's very important that every state would be involved, because you want to draw all of America into this. You don't want to just have everything dragged up to Washington, because then it creates an us and then us and them culture. And you want America to buy into this. If you think about Germany, there was the end of the war, the Nuremberg trials, and everybody went to Nuremberg. It was about the only place that wasn't bombed to bits, where they could have a big building and do it. But in America, which is on the state system, and what I wanted just to let the audience know, are you there, Kerry? Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it's just that my complete screen just went black.
Oh, really?
Yep, it's come back now. You can still hear me, yeah?
Yeah, and you've
okay, I've never
on.
Had that before. The screen went absolutely pitch black.
Right.
Well, that's very interesting, because what's happened is someone turned me off here and then someone turned me back on again.
That's like what you might call a warning.
Oh, well, I'm happy with those. I get warnings, but I'll carry, because, you know, this is the truth and it needs to come out. The major states, I'm not going to mention anybody's names, so they don't need to worry about that. The major states that have got the most indictments, I'm going to read them out, are Ohio, Texas, Virginia, Maryland, Massachusetts, and California.
Oh, wow.
Those states have the highest number of indictments of people ready to be indicted. We know, because it's public record, that end of last year, beginning of this year, Trump changed the rules so that courts could be quasi-military in certain circumstances. And we know that the civilian sector has been working hand in glove with the military sector so that quasi-courts could have both military judges or military prosecutors or defenders and civilian prosecutors. It's a very interesting setup. The only way you could possibly get through anything like this number of people is if you'd have 2 weeks per court case. You can't have a court case going on months and months. So if it's done as a tribunal, it will be done in 2 weeks. So it is possible to get through large numbers of people. Interestingly enough, here across the pond from you guys, the British police have been talking about Britexit and saying that Britexit was going to cause civil unrest on the streets. But when you look into it, it appears that they're using Britexit as a cover for the potential for some disruption. And I would say the same for the US. I have always talked about 2 weeks, 2 weeks to 3 weeks of disruption. The last 3 years, I've always said that there was going to be a disruption to energy or transportation. It would only be about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And I've always said to people, just keep enough food and water just for a couple of weeks. Don't need to stock up for months and months. But it's interesting that I'm getting messages now from the US that there may be some states that have some form of disorder. There may be some form of blackout imposed, some form of curfew, but it would only be slated in for 2 weeks. And it's interesting that the Brits, although they're talking in connection with Britexit, are now also talking about a similar sort of 2 week period or 3 week period. So, I think this is all coming to a head. And I, for the last 6 months, have been saying that October, November and December of this year are perhaps some of the most crucial months on this planet. And I never expected any serious indictments to be opened until October. I always thought it would be from October onwards. So as you said about three times now in the beginning of the show, this is the most interesting time. It is. It's a really exciting time. It's a bit nerve-wracking, really. But we've got to go through this. So October, November, December, make or break, really, in terms of how quickly we can get things done.
Okay, so let me sort of backtrack on what you're saying so that I understand it. Are you saying there will be a two-week interruption in services?
I'm saying there'll be some form of shutdown of some... If a certain body is going to move against another body and both bodies control different arms of the government, then in order to push your agenda through, you have to shut down that arm of the body that's still run by the bad guys. So that may mean that you have to impact civilians in order to freeze out some of the negative entities. So yeah, you could well have a disruption to cell phones, to landlines, to electricity. Yes, I'm saying that.
All right. And starting when exactly?
Well, I never expected anything to start before October.
Okay, but you never did. But are we to consider that it starts before October, or are we to say that?
Well, look, if it starts 1 week before October, I don't think I'll be too cross. I've always said October, November, December. And if it started in the last week of September, which there are certain forces pushing for, I have to tell you, right. I won't be bothered because, hey, listen, I was only a week out. But what I've also said, and this is like deadly serious, is that if it doesn't happen in October, November, December, it's not going to happen properly. So it's really got to happen October, November, December, because the window of opportunity will be lost.
All right. Well, that's very interesting. I am going to be traveling to interview Mark Richards. And let me say, I still need donations to help me do this. But nonetheless, this will be the 20, well, actually, and there's another secret witness that I'm trying to interview in case anyone cares. So if you would like to help me, it would be much appreciated. I hate going in debt on my credit card in order to do these things. I do that. I go in debt on my credit card when I don't have enough money to fund what I want to do. But then I have to sort of live on pins and needles until I'm able to pay that off, obviously. So
to be honest, Kerry, if every one of your subscribers just gave $1, you'd be able to go and interview all of the really good quality interviewees. You know, it wouldn't be a problem, would it?
No, with something like 204 or 206,000 people, I would make more than I ever make every year. If all those people just gave me $1. So there you go. Yes, absolutely. But at any rate, I'm supposed to go, I think it's the 27th, and that weekend, that's the last weekend of September. So I will be traveling during that time. So life could get, I guess, very interesting during my travels, if any of this goes on. And maybe I'm supposed to be traveling during that weekend because of where I live, et cetera, et cetera. So there's very interesting things. But at any rate, just saying that there is a secret witness that I'm trying to persuade to do the interview while I'm in the Northern California area. I think I'm safe on saying that. So anyway, that's just a sort of plug for that. Now we have another discussion to go with. Wasn't there one more subject that you wanted to cover?
No, I've covered all my bits. It's over
really?
To you.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if people realize it, but they are getting more bang for their buck here, and this is actually free. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is like really choice stuff. You're really getting some of the best intel out there, I have to say, by listening to this today. And I would encourage you to spread it around to your friends. Let me see if there's anything that I can sort of ask you about. Well, we are having some very interesting things go on in terms of witness testimony right now. And I have more to come on this score, but there's a lot of talk, as you may know, about Yellowstone erupting. And I am curious whether you've taken a look at that situation yourself, that involves what are in essence, triggered events to happen. And one assumes from the side of the so-called bad guys, as we're calling them. So that would be triggering Yellowstone to trigger other volcanoes. At the same time, this involves what's already happened in Hawaii, for example, a company called Ormat. We've got an investigator who's very good at his job, a former CIA, not what you call a knock, who received a burn notice. I'll give him a plug here, an unwanted publicity guy named Paul Collin, who lives on the street in his car and needs, you know, donations, you know, desperately to keep alive. But nonetheless, he sends me reports because he did this all his life as his job for the intelligence agencies, and he simply can't help himself. He still investigates fascinating stories while he's virtually homeless. So for those that are interested, he is talking about a company called Ormat, and he did a lot of extensive, it's all on his blog, on my guest blogs. Just go down to Unwanted Publicity Guy and you'll see information about Ormat, a company that establishes itself next to even dormant volcanoes who then soon after they are there, start to become active, is using a certain technology in addition to fracking in the area to help trigger this to happen. This is part of what went on in Hawaii recently. And there's a lot more to that story. And Deborah Tavares, I don't know if you know who she is, Simon, lovely lady, who is looking for documentation and finds it to support everything that the so-called dark cabal is up to and the things they put in place in terms of regulations, et cetera, et cetera. The fires in Northern California, she investigates the earthquakes, all of this weather wars, man-made triggered events. So That's kind of a long-winded question, but would you like to have anything to say about all of that?
When members of the Farsight Institute and other organizations and individuals remote viewed into the future, not very far into the future, they found an Earth hugely depopulated. My point is that it depends which timeline you remote view. I don't understand. I'm not an American. I don't understand why somebody would want to crack off half of California and sink it, all the rest of it. I mean, what did California ever do to anyone else? But there is this real dislike for California, hence the droughts, hence the fires, etc. The important point I'm making is that this doesn't have to happen. Yes, arm's length organizations operating reasonably advanced technology linked to fracking, I have to say, and of course Mr. Bush has a strong connection there, of course, have the capability by placing ground devices, nothing central, but locally ground devices, which can exacerbate something that's already there. In other words, you can't make an eruption out of nothing. There has to be some ongoing activity. So my point is that on one timeline, this is all slated to occur. Humanity is to be wiped out by three quarters. The West Coast and some of the East Coast of the states are going to disappear. But that's one timeline. And this is what we're fighting for. We're fighting for freedom. We're fighting for the right to live in the way that we want to live. And we're fighting to throw off oppression. And so, I'm sure that there are certain individuals who absolutely have this as their plan. But, you know, if we can wake up enough of your 200,000 viewers and the millions of people out there, that's why we need these indictments to be opened, because I want to talk about this, Kerry, and it's a little bit off track here. I don't believe anybody really is going to be upset by a case of paedophilia, because they become so immune to it. They'll just say, oh, it's terrible. What will really shock people is not the cases of paedophilia, but the network that organized this trafficking. That is what will shock people, the scale, the breadth, and the depth. Our household names, both individuals and corporations, who were willingly involved in this. Now, that's what will shock humanity, not that this happened down 58th Street or this happened over here, but the coordination of this. And people will say, how is it that Kerry Cassidy knew the truth, but I didn't? How is it? And their immediate response will be that there's something wrong with them because they didn't see the truth. And what I want to tell these people is, don't feel badly, because these bad guys are skilled at this. And they pull the wool over your eyes, because that's what they spend all their money on. The point now is, once the truth comes out, we need to question everything. But we don't blame. We've got to get in there and rebuild it, and rebuild it quickly. So we can put a stop to these madcap schemes of setting off a volcano, setting off the San Andreas Fault, flooding the East Coast, this, that. We can stop all that. But in order to stop it, we need vast numbers of the citizenry to actually stop believing the lies they've been given. Now, if we don't get those indictments, if we don't get some sort of big activity, there won't be that initial oomph that makes people start to question. That's why October, November, December are vital, because if the ordinary people throughout the world see what's really been going on in their own back door, then we can just turn this planet around very quickly.
I totally agree with that. And I think that's, you know, very astute and wonderful that you kind of bring it round to that, because I've had to sort of fight my battles lately in this score. And some people It's troubling because I need to make a video, you know, talking about this, but I do tend to want to write things down so that I can put everything for people. You know, I guess it's the journalist in me where I want people to see, you know, how the thoughts sort of lead in a direction and the evidence that comes forward and then the conclusion rather than, you know, just, trying to do that online on a video, but nonetheless. It's so important, as you're saying, it's the network. It's the way in which people have been corralled and deceived, and the trafficking, you know, lines of trafficking and all of this. It's a huge story. It is the tale of the octopus in essence. It's all the tentacles going out, and that's the story. And that has been revealed, you know, it gets into the promise software and artificial intelligence and targeting and, you know, targeting for many reasons, some to take people out, some to obviously, child trafficking, you name it, what they're doing, organ trafficking. I mean, in other words, this is a very big story. And then we get into the whole idea of so-called earth changes. The very false story about global warming that isn't to do with that at all has to do with the sun. And, you know, Richard Hoagland did some very good investigation on that quite a long time ago, which seems to have gone out of people's heads totally. But it has to do with other planets heating up. So consequently, the conclusion is if you're at all intelligent, it's not happening because, you know, people are driving certain kind of cars. And, you know, the blame the humans notion of everything's wrong on the planet because of the humans. You see, this is part of the scenario. So I agree. And I agree with the timeline. Look, in everything that I've seen in the future, you know, and it doesn't mean, you know, you need to listen to me necessarily, but I do see things in the future that do come true. And one of those things I've seen is that California is not falling into the sea. You know, I'm sorry. And I live here. I know that makes me prejudiced, but actually it also, you know, all I can tell you is there may be timelines in which it does. They may want it to, they may want to try to make it do that. But, and it is really fascinating the things that will happen. I have seen certain timelines, but you know, I actually see a little bit of a mishmash of the two scenarios. So there will be bits of things going on, but not to the degree that they're talking about in what I've seen of the future for what it's worth. So I think we are talking about different timelines. And I don't think that people should be vindictive to blame this idea that you're going to blame someone because they believe in the sort of negative timeline and then it doesn't happen. So those people were supposedly misleading you on purpose. Actually, people that put this stuff out, including Eddie Page, fully believe what they're telling you most of the time. They absolutely, either through past lives, either through their own being mind controlled, either through, you know, childhood terror. It's a combination of things, but there is a psychological profile for why somebody tends to believe a negative, you know, timeline as opposed to a more positive one. I think you can probably address that.
I will do. I'll just say that so many people imagine that trafficking is 20 kids on a boat that's all falling apart with three or four desperate gun runners or what have you, and the boat sails out and it may or may not make it through. What will shock them is some of the most advanced transportation organizations actually willingly participating in the transportation of trafficking. That's the first thing I wanted to say. Second thing is, it's quite contentious, but I'm going to go there and I'm going to tell the people of America this, that earlier this year, I've lost you again. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine. You're right here.
Cut off. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're online.
Okay, I went off again completely.
All right.
And all the lights went off as well, but they've come back on again.
That's incredible. We're seeing you, and you're loud and clear here so far.
Well, honestly, what I believe is someone's trying to switch this off and someone's trying to keep it on.
Excellent.
I don't see it as a warning. I actually see that someone's trying to turn me off and then someone's trying to turn me on. So there's a battle going on, right?
Fascinating.
Okay, well, let me say it quickly before that somebody does pull a plug on me. Most of the control media, most of Hollywood, not all Hollywood, most of Hollywood is absolutely controlled by the evil side. And most of the control media is really evilly controlled. And shots of Mexican prisons, children in bars, President Trump preventing kids, this, that, and the other, and it really kicked up a huge storm. What I wanted to tell the people of America was that, do you know what? Most of those kids arrived with no paperwork. And there is there was a massive child trafficking ring that would turn up at those holding stations with fake documentation. The children were just glad to get out of prison and they'd take them away and they'd be sold into slavery. What Trump did was to actually put a warning out and say to these traffickers in that particular neck of the woods, I'm going to prevent you, I'm going to stop you trafficking these kids. So whilst the nasty arm of the media was shouting about how evil Trump was and these poor kids taken away from their parents, what Trump was doing was cutting off one tentacle of the octopus, as you call it. There are people in our industry who still don't fully grasp the evilness of paedophilia, which actually is not going to appear on indictments. It'll be the word trafficking, child trafficking. That's how it will appear. Not under paedophilia. And also the word Satanism or satanic activity will not appear on the indictments that I'm aware of, because it's very hard to prove that in court. And also that's a religion. And if you start bringing a religion into it, you hold it up. So they're cheaping it very, very much in a understandable way. But we need to look in, when we see the word child trafficking, you need to see the word paedophilia, or you need to see things like elite control, we need to understand the word satanic activity. Sorry, Kerry, I went off shot there. What was the other bit you just said?
I was talking about the psychology behind people that may believe in the dark.
Right. Okay.
But before you wait one second, hold on, hold your thought. I do want to say along the lines, if people want to understand, this was shown in a movie. They do tell you what's going on. And I think it was called it's the Wolverine X-Men movie. So it's the one about the Wolverine where he goes down and rescues the child, or, you know, as part of saving this guy, down to Mexico or somewhere down there. And basically there are children behind bars and all of that shown. So that's real. And they did depict it very well in that movie. It's one of the best X-Men movies, in my opinion, ever to come out, and really does support the side of the children, you know, getting free and all of that. So just wanted to say that.
I could quickly
go ahead.
What you were saying very quickly, that the sort of work I've been doing now, and I was amazed, I've been doing it for nearly 8 years now. It's not as long as you, Kerry, but it's 8 years and it seems a lifetime to me.
Right.
And a great number of the people that I've had the privilege to support, help, work with, who've been through all forms of what I call phase B trauma, are in a mindset which is designed to make them feel comfortable or safe within a negative energy field. And once you break that, then, or once the individual is capable of breaking that, then they get a much more balanced and rounded view of their own position in the world and the people around them. But before they break free, they are usually drawn to a more subdued or downbeat or negative outcome.
Yes, and that's kind of what I was pointing out. And in other words, is understanding the people that resonate with the dark timeline and how completely committed people do become to sort of rescuing themselves and others in theory from that. And I mean, I know preppers who began prepping back in 2007. who are still waiting for the apocalypse. It hasn't happened yet, but they're still, you know, they plan their whole life around it. I mean, this kind of thing is going on constantly.
It's a massive multi-billion dollar industry in America, isn't it?
Oh, it's so extensive. But the psychology behind, you see, planning to, in essence, die, so to speak, you know, in the end, you know, and to live on an earth that is basically wormwood and all of that.
But if I may interrupt you, that's because on one timeline, and that's not exactly what happened, but on one timeline, that is sort of what happened. And when something happens, because time isn't linear, as you well know, Kerry, it's elliptical or figure of eight, whatever you want to call it, that when something happens, it sets an energy anchor in place, and that some triggers can cause another timeline to start to replicate that, or at least for the consciousness of whatever is the supreme life on that planet or that form to be drawn to it. So if we look on one timeline where, I don't know my figures now, but something like 28,000 years in the future on one timeline, there is a disaster. And just as H.G. Wells wrote in his book, The Time Machine, and H.G. Wells wrote The Time Machine in 1895, and he was a member of the Illuminati, and he wrote about the humanity splitting into two groups, those that which went down and lived underground and were the elite, and those which stayed on the surface and were basically the downtrodden, the ordinary people. And those who were on the surface were nearly all wiped out, but managed to hang on. And those that went down under the earth originally were okay, and then they de-evolved, and then they actually come up in lifetime and prey, literally feed off the life form on the top. So those who've had the knowledge have known for a very long time that there have been timelines where humanity is split into the two groups. One's gone underground, one stayed on the top. And if you look at the Rendlesham incident, 1981, where remnants of that group had come back to visit Earth before the 2012 change, before humans' DNA had been changed so much that they couldn't do anything with it, came back to 1981, took a DNA sample, went back and reversed that timeline. Now, when you understand, as you do, Kerry, that these timelines have a great impact on running timelines where there's a potential future, that is why it's such a strong pull for some people. And those of us who are aware of more positive timelines, they're a strong pull for us. And so you get this dichotomy split between people who are naturally pulled in one direction and those pulled in another.
Right, exactly. And I think very well put, very well put. So that was one of my biggest questions for you, was to sort of get your take on, as I said, these various so-called timelines and destructive events that are right now being talked about extensively, of course, by Eddie Page, but others. I have Richard Allen Miller, who's a Black Project physicist, who is convinced for one reason or another, and he's somebody who does look at the, he's an herbologist. I just did a documentary on him. We went and visited him. He's a delightful man at his home. And he believes that it's very good possibility Yellowstone will erupt in the next 6 months. Now, he is part of Navy Intel. He's heavily surveilled. He puts out the truth as much as possible. He's being penalized for it, by the way. And so if people want to help him, I wish they would donate to him. His name is Richard Allen Miller. And he's in his elderly years, and they are punishing him for the truth he tells. But it is interesting that he has seen this as well in terms of Yellowstone. I have seen some things in my future scenarios that does include that. So it's very possible. Now, you said you can't take a volcano that's basically, I guess, dead and maybe bring it to life. But in the case of Yellowstone, as everyone knows, the geysers, you know, and everything, it's quite obvious that that's a very active, still active area. And I was just in Mammoth, where we saw, we went to the heart of the caldera there that is there, and that is also very active as it happens. So these places can be triggered, and it's possible they will be, or at least they will try. And they do have, you know, underground earthquake weapons. This technology is owned by, I think China has it, Russia has it, the U.S. has it. They have been triggering, doing these weather wars. Do you want to talk about weather wars and what is going on the planet and has been going on? Do you have any information that you might want to help people to understand a bit more about weather wars? Because it's such a key aspect to war in general now that I don't think people really put those two together necessarily.
We haven't seen these devices used to their full potential. Because if one country was to use it to its full potential against another, that would then have a retaliatory effect. The difficulty we've got, of course, is that America is split. You've got this good faction, and then this indifferent faction, which is huge, and then this rather small negative faction. And there's the negative faction over the last 25 years that have dominated the US. And as a result of that, control the infrastructure and the command and control. It's only in the last literally few years that this command and control structure has been slowly but surely taken back by the legitimate forces, not entirely, but in some key areas. So it was never really about how do we starve China of water or how do we send a heat wave down to Canada. It was all about how do we use this as part of our political game against our enemies in Washington or our enemies in this particular corporation or that corporation. And how do we put pressure? So, for instance, if you've got Silicon Valley, how do you put pressure on that industry? How do you put pressure on car manufacturing? How do you, you know, destroy this, that, and the other? And so it's really been about an internal game within the US. It's not actually been used as a weapon as it would be to send a B-2 bomber over to Afghanistan. It was always used as a secret weapon to play a political game. It's only now in the last few months with countries like China, who are not at war with themselves, but have this total global dominance program through peaceful dominance, actually, generally speaking, through the economy crash everywhere else, of them using the device. You talked a little bit about the superluminal communication systems with the satellites. Well, the Chinese were one of the first outside of the United States to launch and successfully operate a superluminal communication satellite. And I think actually you mentioned about the Chinese hacking, and I can actually confirm the Chinese do regularly hacking at superluminal speed, and they have very advanced technology. So with people like China now capable to project weather wars, it rather now spoils the game of those evil people in America who have been so navel gazing that they've taken their eye off the ball what other countries are doing. But it's not been played out. You know, you see a cloud in the sky, you don't see any rain. It's not like a bomb exploding. The public don't really understand that this is part of a long-term game that's been played for 30 plus years, maybe 40 years. And as I say, I still don't understand why people hate California.
Okay, well, I don't either. But to get back to the subject, well, let's take Hurricane Florence, for example. This is a weather war. It's not the first hurricane that's been a weather war. It's aimed at our own country, strangely. Getting some help there from basically the European side of the Illuminati, I would say. And so you could maybe address that. I will say that North Korea is certainly very involved in the weather wars game and trying to become more involved as it happens, and so on. So these the use of the weapons is, yes, happening. I know there was a earthquake, for example, in Italy, in the middle of Italy, in a very strange place that doesn't usually have earthquakes. That was a weather weapon attack. So there have been, you could actually cite a number of places where these things have happened. So do you have any thoughts about Hurricane Florence? And I'm told there are some other hurricanes in the pipeline, I guess you might call it, coming in the near future that may do some similar things.
I worked with a group who have the most amazing sound technology. They have metal gongs, which are huge, absolutely enormous, and they are set at different frequencies. And I've had the great privilege of working with them to disrupt some of this technology. We've worked together on a number of projects and to try to reduce the strength of this hurricane. Certainly they worked through the night, and I'm absolutely convinced it did come down a couple of notches, not as much as we would like. So yes, these weapons are being used. They're usually designed to put pressure on governments. There was a situation a couple of years back, 3 years back, with Canada. When a government doesn't do what the cabal wants, then you can't go dropping a bomb on your supposed ally. But what you do is you create what's called a natural disaster, which the public and the newspapers sell as a natural disaster, but the government is left in no uncertain terms that unless they change tack or unless they vote a different way or unless they stop making these outrageous announcements, whatever they may be, there'll be more of the same. And we've only got to look at the situation in Japan for an absolute cataclysmic experience of that. But that was actually nuclear rather than this sound wave, vibrational microwave technology, which is what you're referring to in terms of the tectonic plates and the ground. You can't make it rain from nothing, but what you can do is you can bring in the rain clouds maybe 100 miles away and you can bring them in, or you can push the rain clouds away. So whilst the technology is not all encompassing, it has the capability to have something like a 75 to 85% success rate. Now there are a number of these stations across the US and into Europe. That's what's so surprising. Because the cabal have run this planet for 40 plus years, in terms of modern technology. So these facilities are there. Some are not controlled by them, some are. Now, this comes back to the satellites. With the satellites that we talked about earlier now out of operation, some of these ground-based technologies are dormant.
Great. Well, that's going to help. Now, there is one, I know we're keeping you a while here. I'll give you one more question that is related to what we're talking about here. But I'm just, you know, trying to get your take on something that Mark Richards actually talked about, which has to do with the Northern California fires that were quite catastrophic, as you may know, and that a whole neighborhoods were decimated. Really, it is quite extraordinary that we haven't even seen the brutality of something. Unless you want to liken it to, I guess, areas where hurricanes have been targeted. But nonetheless, really, really brutal. And one thing that Mark said that is that he felt that it was a certain groups of ETs that were actually coming through a portal into the Northern California area, and that they were then being attacked by our government with certain weaponry. And so that this was in a sense that Northern California was caught in the middle of a war, in essence, a small war, and that these certain I'm not great with military terms, but there are certain military base where the individuals came in to fight the war there on the ground. So are you familiar with what happened in Northern California? Did you pay a lot of attention? Did you have any information yourself in that regard?
The largest membership for Connecting Consciousness is in the United States. Therefore, I do pay an awful lot of attention to the US because that's where a bulk of the Connecting Consciousness membership is. every country is important. Some countries have a bigger role to play at the moment, and at the moment the US has a bigger role. And what has been interesting is that the type of weapons used are a form of an energy weapon. And what's remarkable is that anything metal tends to be affected by these weapons more than anything else. So if you visit the site, you'll often see a tree with its full green leaves just 3 feet away from a motor car that's been completely burnt out. You'll also notice that the type of energy weapons affects metal in different ways. So aluminum hubcap wheels have been completely turned to molten metal and literally just form puddles at the base of the vehicles. Some of these energy weapons have been fired by helicopters. It's not the first time that a ground battle has been fought on the Earth between human and non-human entities, but it is the first time in my knowledge that a battle above ground in the US has been fought. There have been battles between non-beneficial humans and humans and beneficial aliens, which have been fought underground. And Africa is the only other place that I'm aware where humans and aliens have fought it out above ground. And that was deliberate because Africa was largely depopulated in some parts. Technology was very low. Nobody had a cell phone. You couldn't get any information. But it's the first time, to my knowledge, that a considerable operation has been mounted above ground with energy weapons, predominantly from helicopters and some from satellites. Does that match any of the information you have, Kerry?
Yes, absolutely. And it's fabulous to get your take on that, because, you know, Mark Richards is such a brave, in my opinion, brave whistleblower. He's one of the best that I have, and he gets a lot of flack, you know, as you may imagine. He goes out on a limb and, you know, part of the reason he's allowed to do it, of course, is that they feel that because he's in prison and he was framed for murder, masterminding murder, not committing it himself, but nonetheless. And in fact, there's a British guy now who's hell-bent to try to tell the story of the guys who actually did the murder and further blame Mark Richards. So Mark has pushed the envelope perhaps as far as he can. But at any rate, he is in prison. And so they think that he is, you know, a discredited witness in essence. So he does get away with saying more than most whistleblowers are able to even stay on the planet, you know, on the surface, so to speak, and who are free.
Yes, Kerry, because it would be the easiest thing in the world to prevent you from visiting him.
Exactly. And he claims to also still be reporting to higher ups in the Navy.
Actually. I actually would agree with that. And I think that there's a reasonable opportunity of a pardon if October, November, December go the way I and many others hope it will do.
Right.
There's a reasonable chance for him to receive a pardon when the dust has settled on a number of issues.
Yeah, that is so wonderful to hear. You know, and I'll pass that along to Joanne Richards, his lovely wife. So anyway, that's really enough. I think that people have gotten more than their fair share here of really good insider information. So thank you for that. And I think it's really, really great. So I'm sorry, we don't have time for questions here. I think people can come and why don't you tell more about your radio show a bit?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm still not particularly well. I mean, it was a very, very nasty attack. I say, I know it was an attack because to start at 6 in the evening and not finish till 6 in the morning. And I said to you, I'd been in the hospital 7 hours and I just got a shout from the door. No, you were in there for 9 hours. And I was in hospital for 9 hours.
Incredible.
But I'm here now and I'm not leaving the planet till the job's done, and that's it. So simonparks.org, that's my website. And if people wanted to come and visit me, join Connecting Consciousness, you know, you don't have to do anything. You just have to be there, share information. And if you want to do something, that's absolutely fantastic. We've got a whole range of people from just regular guys right through to heads of corporations who are now signed up and involved, all waiting for day when it becomes really good to be honest and be who we really are and not have to pretend. I do these podcasts. I call them my radio shows. I do them here, and they go out twice a month through the radio, through the website and onto YouTube. So please subscribe to that. You know, it'd be great. And through Ted Marr's, I think it's Ever Beyond Radio. I would get, or Out of This World Radio, I think. And he's based in Seattle. And he's a really good host. And I do a couple of radio shows a month with him. So, yeah, that's it. And like you, Carrie, we just do what we can. And we just believe in the truth. And believe that if we just keep at this, it's got to come right. So thank you. Thank you for having me. God bless to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Simon. It's been a real pleasure. And take care of yourself, okay? And I know everyone will send you good energy so that you can have a complete recovery. And so I'll let you go now.
That's great. Thank you. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Take care. Take care.
Bye.
All right. So that was a really fabulous program. And I hope everyone appreciates that, appreciates how much he puts himself on the line, under the line of fire, so to speak, or on the line of fire, and is coming forward with the really good stuff. So I want to say that I'm going to head for San Francisco on my way to interview Mark Richards. If you can possibly donate to make that trip possible so I don't go in debt on my credit cards, I would really appreciate it. And thank you for those who have been donating all this time, keeping Camelot alive, and to a very specific individual who got me out of some very hot water financially very recently. I do want to say that part of the reason I've been behind the eight ball financially is this summer I spoke in June in Barcelona to a standing ovation, I want to say, which is very lovely, to well over 1,000 people. I don't know, maybe 1,500, maybe more. And that was in Barcelona. And that organization, which is called something like Ufology World, has still not paid me. So they didn't cover my flight, although they said they would, and they didn't cover a speaking fee at all. So I was out of pocket close to $2,000. So that really kind of made it more difficult for me to stay alive in the last few months. Been sort of living quite close. So my bank account was lower than it's been probably the entire time I've been doing Project Camelot. So that's kind of how it got. But this one person came through, was able to take care of a huge credit card debt that I had on my credit card for me. And so I'm still... I don't want more debt. And so now we're going to try to go to interview Mark Richards. And that does take a few days away and out of town and certain expenses that we have. So just want to ask people who would like to donate. And of course, with all the people that possibly could donate. And I also have like 59 million viewers, you know, 206,000 of whom subscribe. So if any of those people want to donate $5 even, it will certainly help. It is a numbers game, as they say. So that would be great. And I have some very interesting interviews coming up. I have a super soldier who's going to be on my show on Wednesday. She goes by the name of Penny, Penny LA, I think she calls herself. And then I have... Well, I've still got Isaac Cappies in the standby sort of area. He hasn't committed to an interview. He said he will, but he hasn't actually done it. And then I have a couple other things that are sort of tentatively scheduled there. So you're going to have to wait for a bit of the last minute on a lot of those things. Let me see if I have this on my calendar that I can see. Yeah, it's not actually... showing up here. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I think sometimes it's better when I do things last minute. So I guess I am on the 20th That is this Thursday. I'm going to be on Alexandria's. She's going to interview me. So that should be a lot of fun and quite interesting. She's doing like a small online conference. And she's the one who put on the Prague conference a few years ago. And so that will be on the 20th. And as I say, on Wednesday night, I think it's Wednesday night at 7 p.m., I'm going to be talking to this super soldier. So always a lot going on. I am talking to Eddie Page, back channel, and to Maggie, who used to work with him, as people will know, and also to Ari, a very good online journalist who has been trying to get the truth out, and to the best of her ability, and dealing with a lot. So we've got conflicting testimonies from the brother of Eddie Page, Michael, apparently, even recorded. I've heard the recordings. Whether they ever get to see the light of day, I don't know. But the evidence is that the brothers are not necessarily in agreement with some of the decisions Eddie has made. Eddie's understanding is different. And I'm going to be having him on my show to discuss all of this in the near future. There's a very important article where I kind of, you know, delineate out the various controversies and some of my take on it, as well as the evidence that's come forward. So it's important to go to my front page, projectcamelot.tv, and click on the new evidence surrounding the Eddie Page story for those of you who are following that story. And let's see, is there anything else in my laundry list of things that I'm supposed to talk about? Not that I can think of. This has been a very important show. I hope that you will share it with others and get it out there. So thanks again for watching. Have a great day. And I'll be back, soon, tomorrow. There may be some unscheduled, sudden things that I end up doing as well. So stay tuned and take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.